Hare Krishna. As we have heard and read, great souls traverse the face of the earth to give people the chance to hear about Krishna and engage in Krishna's service and dedicate their lives to Krishna. Although we hear about the face of the earth or the worlds, in our experience, Krishna was pretty much unknown outside of India. And even within India, Krishna was obscured. The knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita was obscured by different misinterpretations. And it was Srila Prabhupada who brought Krishna to us. He said that previously Krishna had been kept locked up in a box. But he had opened up the box and taken Krishna out and held him up and announced, "Here is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead." We all are born in the material world with that demoniac tendency to want to kill Krishna so we can take the place of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada dedicated his life to ridding the hearts of people of that demonic tendency so that they could accept Krishna as their Lord and Master and supreme lovable object. The way Srila Prabhupada spoke about fools and rascals gave us scope to think that he was talking about other people, that we fortunate ones are the most intelligent, because we have taken to Krishna consciousness, unlike the fools and rascals who want to make arrangements to be happy in the world without Krishna. And with that understanding, we were infused with a great enthusiasm to go out to the fools and rascals like Srila Prabhupada did and give them knowledge of Krishna, give them the holy name of Krishna. But as time passed, we began to realize that those rascals aren't so far away. They are closer to us than we would have liked to believe. Our god brother Ravindra Swarup Prabhu would quote a line. I'm not sure where it's from, but we have seen the enemy, and it is us. And therefore, to deliver someone from that deeply ingrained materialistic idea that I can be happy in the world without Krishna, that I can take the place of Krishna and be the enjoyer and controller and proprietor, is a very difficult task. So although Srila Prabhupada did travel the world to deliver the fools and rascals from their ignorance and delusion, he later said that he was traveling the world for the sake of his disciples, to keep them strong, so that they didn't become weak and fall back into their old ways. Now, it is said in scripture that a pure devotee can convey bhakti or impart bhakti through three ways. One is through his glance, which we have read about. One is through his good wishes. And one is through his words. Srila Prabhupada spoke about Krishna day and night. He could not stop speaking about Krishna. Once we were with Srila Prabhupada in a hill station in Maharashtra, and the owners of the house and their wives had gone out, and Prabhupada and the few disciples with him were left behind in the house. So after Prabhupada's little nap after lunch, he came out into the sitting room to preach. And then there was no one to preach to except us. So we sat with him while he preached. And eventually the brothers and their wives came and he preached to them. But he could not stop preaching. We read how devotees are equal in all situations. Once a disciple asked Srila Prabhupada where he should arrange Prabhupada's programs, preaching programs. And Prabhupada said, anywhere you want. I am like a cow. Wherever you put the cow will give milk. So you can put me anywhere. It doesn't matter. I will give Krishna consciousness. Now, in my own case, I heard Srila Prabhupada. He was the first devotee that I heard. And I surrendered. I mean, hearing him once, I understood that he was the perfect master that I was looking for, and I surrendered to him. And after 2.5 months in the temple in Boston, Satsvarupa decided they needed a pujari. And that if I wanted, I could write to Srila Prabhupada and ask for initiation. So I wrote him, and he did initiate me. And in his letter, he wrote, well, several things that were very striking and instructive. So I will read from his initiation letter to me. My dear Giriraj, that was the first time I saw my name. Please accept my blessings. Now, this is significant. He's giving his blessings, but he's asking us to accept them. I beg to acknowledge receipt of your letter dated July 2nd, 1969, sent along with your beads. I have chanted on them, and your initiated name is Giriraj. Giriraj is the name of the Govardhan Hill on which Krishna used to tend his cows. In Vrindavan, the Govardhan Hill is worshipped as a representation of Krishna. Sometimes devotees take stone from Govardhan Hill and keep it at home as a representation of Krishna, and they worship in this way. Well, this sounded extremely exotic. Extremely exotic, the idea that people would take a stone from a hill and worship it as Krishna. That was very exotic. Then he wrote, I am very glad to understand that you have relished at least some of the transcendental bliss of Krishna consciousness. Now, this also surprised me, because what convinced me to surrender to Srila Prabhupada on the face of it was Srila Prabhupada's answer to my question. I was convinced by the philosophy. And I was surprised when he said that, I'm very glad to understand that you have relished at least some of the transcendental bliss of Krishna consciousness. But that has been one of the themes, especially His Holiness Satchinandan Swami's themes, that we cannot go along just on the basis of philosophy. There has to be some realization of transcendental bliss. And then Srila Prabhupada says, it is a great fortune for you. Living entities are roaming within the universes in different species of life and in different planetary systems, enjoying or suffering the reaction of pious or impious activities. But they have no information how to get out of this entanglement of repetition of birth and death. Due to the darkness of ignorance, most living entities have no idea about the values of life. Therefore, one who understands the importance of Krishna consciousness must be a very fortunate soul. So I marked it in your person when I was in Boston, and I prayed to Krishna that this good soul may be aware of the importance of Krishna consciousness. So this was the point that I wanted to mention, that Srila Prabhupada prayed for me. He answered my question beyond my wildest imagination. I mean, I asked a question, but underlying the question were so many presumptions. And Srila Prabhupada went to the very depth of my presumptions or assumptions and really came to the very heart of the matter, which is, do you want to become God or do you want to serve God? But my experience of his words were that he knew everything about me. And I received his words as the direct answer to my question, and not just the question itself, but the very most basic questions of life. Who am I? And what is my purpose? What is my goal, and how to achieve my goal? He answered everything. But his prayer, in retrospect, I'm seeing that it was his prayer that opened my heart and made his words enter deeply into my heart and basically seize possession of my soul. Now, this idea of a devotee praying did not come up in the early reading that we were doing. When I joined, the only books we had were the abridged Bhagavad Gita as it is from Macmillan, and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya had just come out. But later, when I read the story of Vasudev Dutta and his prayer to Lord Chaitanya to accept all the sinful reactions of all the living entities in all the universes so that they could be delivered while he would suffer their reactions, sinful reactions on their behalf, addressed that issue. Lord Chaitanya of heart melted in ecstasy when he heard Vasudev Dutta's heartfelt prayer. I remember giving a class. I won't give too many details because I don't want to give away the identities of the people, but I gave a class. And after the class, one lady mentioned thinking of the welfare of all living entities, sort of like desiring the welfare of all living entities. And her husband immediately shot the words, how deep is that prayer? How deep is that desire? But in the case of Vasudev Dutta, there was not the slightest duplicity. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him, and he said that whosoever welfare a Vaishnav desires, Krishna will help. I'm not saying it exactly as it is, but so it, just by your desire, Krishna will respond, even without your accepting their sinful reactions. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted a verse from the next chapter of the 10th canto, the prayers of the personified Vedas, which is a prayer to Krishna, basically saying that by your will, the living entities come under the control of the material nature, and similarly, by your will, they can be delivered. And I associated that with Srila Prabhupada's prayer for me. Otherwise, I cannot understand any other reason why or how a person like me could have been delivered from the very deep delusion that I was in at the time. So Srila Prabhupada's prayer is very powerful. His glance, so many devotees were not quite sure about Krishna consciousness. But when they saw Srila Prabhupada for the first time, perhaps at an airport, for many, it was a reception for Prabhupada at an airport, they became overwhelmed with emotion and just fell flat on the floor and in surrender. So many examples. People who are not particularly emotional would find themselves overwhelmed with emotion, that tears would stream from their face, and they would tremble just by, well, seeing Srila Prabhupada or receiving Srila Prabhupada's merciful glance. And this is what Lord Krishna says in this chapter, how quickly effective the darshan or audience of a pure devotee is. Now, coming to Prabhupada's use of the word rascal.
His often use of the word rascal.
His frequent use of the word rascal. Prabhupada found it helpful in his preaching to shake people out of their complacency. And as Prabhupada mentioned in the excerpt from the talk that we just heard, sometimes he would use those terms to refer to people who were very revered as saintly persons in India. And people would get upset. That called to mind one vivid morning walk conversation on Juhu Beach between Srila Prabhupada and his friend or companion on his walks, Dr. Patel. Dr. Patel had been educated in England at a time when it was not very common for people from India to be educated in England. But more than being educated in England, he had kept his principles, you know, the same basic principles that we follow. And he knew Sanskrit. He was very intelligent and articulate. So he used to like to come and walk with Prabhupada and discuss and argue. So one morning, Dr. Patel brought up one of the most famous and popular Indian religious figures. And said that he was a rascal. And Dr. Patel became furious. He said, "You cannot call him a rascal." And what did Prabhupada say? Who can guess? I am not saying. Krishna is saying. Namam duskritana mudha prapadyante naradama. And Dr. Patel said, "But you can't speak like this." And Prabhupada said, "I am not saying. I'm just repeating what Krishna says. Namam duskritana mudha prapadyante." Anyway, Dr. Patel became wild. I mean, he became wild. And he began to shout at Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada was shouting back at him. And it was escalating. Both of them were livid. They were like becoming red in the face and their veins were sticking out. And they were shouting at each other. And Dr. Patel's friends, cronies, they were like his group who were with him, and he was the accepted leader. Even they became concerned, and they tried to restrain him. And they say they told him, "Swamiji has a heart condition. Don't upset him so much." But like he wouldn't stop, and Prabhupada wouldn't stop. It was like. In a boxing ring, like sometimes the bell rings to indicate that the round is over, but they keep going at each other, and the referee and everyone's like the trainers, and they're all like trying to separate them. They just keep going at each other. So finally, Dr. Patel's friends pulled him away, and they went their way, and Prabhupada went his way. So back at the temple, Tamal Krishna Goswami asked Srila Prabhupada why he put up with Dr. Patel, why he did it. And what is Dr. Patel's position? Because Dr. Patel, Prabhupada would often call him a Mayavadi. And Dr. Patel would say, "No, sir, I'm not a Mayavadi. I'm a Vaishnav." So Srila Prabhupada, so it was a mystery, two mysteries. What is Dr. Patel's actual position? And why does Prabhupada tolerate him? So Prabhupada answered the question about Dr. Patel's position by saying there was once a man who came to a village who was expert in speaking many different languages. And whatever language someone addressed him in, he would respond perfectly in the same language. And no one could figure out where he was from, what his mother tongue was. And it was a big mystery. So finally, one person said, I will find out. So one day, he snuck up behind the man and gave him a big slap. And then the man began to curse in his native language. And then everyone knew where he was from. So Srila Prabhupada said Dr. Patel was like that. He could speak very expertly in different languages. And you could never know what his actual position was. But when I hit him today, where it really hurt, his true feelings came out. So that made the case for rejecting Dr. Patel even stronger. So Tamal Krishna Goswami said, well, why do you tolerate him? Why do you indulge him? And Srila Prabhupada replied, it is our duty to engage everyone. So, of course, we took that as Prabhupada's mercy. He took it as his duty to engage Dr. Patel, thinking he's in a different category and we're in a different category. But actually, we are all beneficiaries of Srila Prabhupada's sense of duty, as he put it, to engage everyone. Because who are we to be engaged in service to Krishna, Radha and Krishna, or Gaur Nitai? So Prabhupada said, all right, from now on, no more discussions on the morning walk. We will just read Krishna book. And for the first time in years, I mean, Dr. Patel was so regular from the beginning. For the first time in years, Dr. Patel did not come. And one or two days passed, and Prabhupada was walking one direction, one side of the beach. Dr. Patel was walking the other direction, the other side of the beach. And it was twilight, it's a very dim light. And suddenly, and it's like Dr. Patel was determined he was going to walk past Prabhupada and not even look at him. Suddenly, he turned his course and walked straight to Prabhupada's lotus feet and offered respects. He later described it that he couldn't help himself. He had no intention, but he was just pulled to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. And he said, Prabhupada, I'm sorry, but I have been taught to respect all the accredited saints of India. And Prabhupada replied, and my business is to say who is a saint and who is not. And Dr. Patel accepted Prabhupada as he was, and somehow Prabhupada continued to engage Dr. Patel. Now, I'd also like to discuss this question of what it means to be liberated, because there are degrees of liberation. For example, in the story of Ajamil, we hear about Nama Bas, the efficacy of Nama Bas, that it destroys sinful reactions and it saves one from hellish punishment, and it it grants one liberation. This was a very controversial point in the assembly of Govardhan and Hiranyamajumdar when Haridas Thakur was discoursing on the glories of the holy name. That one can get liberation just by a glimpse of the actual holy name by Nama Bas. And by chanting a Nama Bas, Ajamil was saved. You know, he was freed from sinful reactions, saved from hellish suffering, and liberated in the sense that he was liberated from material desires. And he was able to leave his wife, the prostitute to whom he was so attached, and his son Narayan, to whom he was so attached, and go to Haridwar and continue his practice until he could actually chant purely and be eligible to enter the spiritual kingdom of God. So Dr. Patel, when he first met the devotees in Juhu, we were living in a hut, and it was very crude, and there was no proper facility for the devotees. And many of them were getting malaria, jaundice, and he felt something, you know, that these Americans have come to India and they're living in such poor conditions. So although he was a very proud man, for the first time in his life, he decided to beg. Of course, this is something I never thought of before. But when one speaks about the same subject, one gets new realizations. But anyway, he had never begged before. He had never humbled himself to beg. But he decided for this cause he would do it. So he went to MJ Market, Mulji Jetha Market, the big cloth market in Bombay, and he begged cotton, he begged linen, and he put together 12 sets with a mattress, a pillow, a blanket or chadar, and a mosquito net. And, you know, it was really a very big thing for him. And he brought them, he came to the hut, presented them to the devotees. And, well, as you might imagine, well, what do you think happened to those 12 sets? After a few months, instead of 12 pillows, there were 10. Instead of 12 mosquito nets, there were 11. Gradually, one by one, all the different items began to disappear. Until finally, after a couple of years, there was not a shred of Dr. Patel's donation left. So he brought it up to Srila Prabhupada on a morning walk. And Srila Prabhupada heard the complaint, and then he replied that, do you know why there is nothing left of your donation? Because these devotees, they don't care if they have to sleep on the bare floor. They don't care if they don't have a pillow to put their head on. They don't care if mosquitoes come and bite them. All they care about is serving their spiritual master and Krishna. And if they can serve their spiritual master and Krishna, They don't care about anything else. And then he said, that moksha that you are so eager for, that you are dying for, that moksha, they already have. So Srila Prabhupada, he was protecting us, he was humbling Dr. Patel, and of course, you know, there is the principle of Yukta Vairagya that's central to Krishna consciousness. But still, Prabhupada, he saw that in his disciples, and that really was there. So, by his mercy, we were, in a way, you could say, acting far beyond our capacity due to his presence. Due to his presence, we could experience a level of pure devotional service that ordinarily would have been beyond our capacity. And after Srila Prabhupada left, we've been struggling, you know, to recapture that spirit. But it's there. It's there. And it is meant to be passed on through parampara. That's why we're here. That's why you're here. We are repeating what we heard from Srila Prabhupada, and not just what we heard, but the mood that we imbibed from him. Once he said that to His Holiness Jaipataka Swami, that it's not just the words that you pass on, but it's the mood, the vibration in the broad sense of the word. So that is, we got something from Srila Prabhupada. We're trying to share it with you, pass it on to you, share it with you. And you are trying to receive it from us, imbibe it from us, and share it with others. This is not a movement for selfishness. It's a movement for service. It's a movement for giving. We didn't have time to read it, but in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary to one of the verses that we just read, the BBT includes it in the purport. He quotes Srimad Bhagavatam 4:30-37, "Dear Lord, your personal associates, your devotees, wander all over the world to purify even the holy places of pilgrimage. Is not such activity pleasing to those who are actually afraid of material existence?" And in his purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada discusses the mood of the Bhajanandi and the mood of the Gostiyanandi. And but of course, we want to cultivate bhajan. We want to feel ananda. As Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the best preacher is a bhajan anandi who preaches. So we want to relish. We want to have some taste. But whatever we have, big or small, we also want to share it with others. And that was Srila Prabhupada's mood. There's the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, magnanimity. And Srila Prabhupada said that he wanted all of his disciples to have that same mood of magnanimity, Odarya. We have Madhurya and Odarya. So thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to remember Srila Prabhupada and speak about him. And now we will continue with the rest of the program. Hare Krishna. I am your servant. I will, as you order me, I will do. Kim Karomi. Thank you. Thank you.
And you brought all those books?
I was just imitating you, but then I thought, how can I imitate Burijan Prabhu? It's not possible. I just have to be myself. So I brought them, but I didn't open them. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.